Hello, hello, everybody. GM, we are joined here today with Sandy Carter from Unstoppable Domains. We'll go ahead and get started here in about a minute. But if y'all wouldn't mind, if you could share at the bottom right of your screen, the little chat bubble icon, if you could share this out with your network, we'd really appreciate it so we can get some more folks in here. And just invited you up, Tina, to co-host. So if you want to accept, oh, there we go. Awesome.
Rachel, I lost your volume.
Hey, can you hear me now? Okay, Tina?
Yep. I can hear you now.
Okay, awesome. There we go. Cool. All right. Yeah, let's, everybody here, if y'all wouldn't mind just clicking the bottom right icon on your screen, if you're on your phone, should look like a little chat bubble. If you can just share this out with your network, we'd really appreciate it. So we can get more folks in here and talk more about digital identity together.
Awesome. And just retweeted.
Awesome. I just retweeted, and I know our main Unstoppable account will retweet as well.
Amazing. Thanks, Sandy.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Sandy, I'm inviting you up too as a co-host. If there's anything you want to pin throughout the duration of the space, I know you sent me some links, so feel free to throw anything up as we're talking about it. And yeah, we are 5 minutes in, so yeah, I guess we can just kick it off right now. So yeah, for everyone listening, my name is Rachel here behind the UETH account. I'm a UETH core team member here with my colleague Tina today and our guest Sandy Carter from Unstoppable Domains. We're really excited to have Sandy on as a guest. She's been a huge supporter of the University of Ethereum and, you know, someone I've really admired in the space for a long time for her work in digital identity and just being so active in our community and being willing to show up for others and go to events and be so active there. So yeah, without further ado, I would love to pass it off to, we can start with Sandy and start with our introductions, and then I'll pass it off to Tina.
Okay, that sounds great. My name is Sandy Carter. I am the COO of Unstoppable Domains and the founder of a group called Unstoppable Women of Web3 and AI. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm thrilled I see some of my whales coming in to support us. So thank you guys so much. Really, really appreciate that as well. And we're going to have some fun today. We're going to talk about all the cool features of digital identity that Unstoppable brings, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So invite your friends and your family and your dogs and your meme coins to come and join us, because we're going to have a great time.
I love that, Sandy. Absolutely. I can give an intro. I'm Tina. I'm one of the UETH core team members. I co-host workshops with Rachel. Most recently, we just launched one with Sandy called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Digital Identity. And then aside from that, I work a lot with our university chapters, as well as looking at startups that could come in and pitch for Super Demo Day, which is a pitch day that we host at EdCon, a conference that we are putting on in Tokyo at the end of July. So that's a bit about me, and excited to dive into this community space today.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just super grateful, Sandy, for you showing up and coming to do this workshop. I think it's such an important topic and something that you've been working on for years. Also, another thing, Sandy, too, that we didn't mention is you're also an author of The Tiger and the Rabbit. That's a book that I purchased off of Amazon after seeing you publish that. I don't know if you want to share a bit about that as well before we dive into the questions, but would love to share that with our audience today, too.
Yeah, I am so excited about this book. It's called The Tiger and the Rabbit, and it's about how Web3 and AI will work together. It is, it's a really powerful book. I talked to over 400 different companies in order to write it and get some really accurate data on it. I interviewed folks like Sandeep, the CEO of Polygon, and Lane from blockchain.com. But also I had, you know, Kate Bradley from PepsiCo, who's doing some stuff here in the Web3 space, and Jim Scalpa, who's developing Web3 metaverses as digital twins and using and leveraging that, to Justin Hochberg, who's working with H&M. There's a couple of H&M stories in here as well. What I'm really excited about is it was listed as a bestseller in both the data category and the AI category. We sold out of it at South by Southwest. But the real value to me is when people write in and say, oh, this helped me understand Web3 better, or this helped me see the synergy between blockchain and AI, that sort of thing. I think it's just really great when you can use and leverage what you learn and share it with others, so that, you know, everybody is catching up to speed. Because this is about one, you know, this is about one community, right? We all rise together. And so I think it's really great. Oh, I love that. That's a great pick.
I was waiting for your reaction from that picture. That's so old. That's back when I brought you onto Crypto Sapiens for the podcast. Oh, yeah. You know what's wild, Sandy? You were actually the first podcast guest that I ever interviewed on my podcasting journey. You were number one. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is freaking cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I learned a lot on that and have come a long way. I'd say, you know, Crypto Sapiens was really the foundation that led me to the University of Ethereum and working on these educational workshops. So thank you for being the first guest that I really interviewed for my podcasting journey.
Oh, I love that. I love being number one. That's super cool.
What a cute story.
Thank you. I love that.
Sandy, yeah, not to derail our conversation, I'm so curious. Like, first off, how do you have time to go interview 400 people for a book when you're CEO of a pretty large company?
And writer of Forbes too.
Yeah. And then also tell us about your book creation process. Like, how long did that take? I'm so interested in how you got started down this path and how you find time to do all these things.
It's really, you know, I think it's really something that I just love to do. I love to write. It's probably how I survived so well at Amazon, because you have to write narratives to present your ideas. And this book actually started, I was presenting at Consensus, I believe it was Consensus, like over a year plus ago. And Wiley, who is the publisher of the book, stopped me and said, we love your stories. We love the way you tell stories about Web3. People are asking us about Web3, but they don't get it. And so if you could use your stories in a book, you know, we would publish it. And so that's really how the book got started, was from that connection and telling stories about Web3 at a conference. I'm pretty sure it was Consensus. It took me about a year to write the book. And of course, once you write the book, then the publisher has to do all the hard work to publishing. That takes another like 3 months. But the cool thing was, because it relates to what I'm doing at Unstoppable, you know, they really went hand in hand. I was just sharing experiences and lessons learned and stories from that that mission. And I am really excited to announce that Wiley just signed me up for his second book. This book has done so well. They just signed me up for a second book. And so I'm going to get started on that. And they want this one really, really, really fast. So if anybody saw my presentation at South by Southwest, I was one of 17 featured speakers. I got rated really high on the presentation. So we're going to take that and I'm going to turn that into a book as well. So that will include digital identity again, which is one of the things I'm very passionate about.
Wow, Sant, you are just goals. Like, you are such an inspiration for women in our space. I mean, for everyone in our space. But yeah, actually seeing your journey has really inspired me. Something I love about just the way you operate in our space is you're always going to IRL events. And, you know, this weekend in Berkeley, I realized there's a lot of stuff happening out here with Funding the Commons. And, you know, I love, Sandy, how when you go to events, you always take pictures of people. You're always sharing about it in real time. So that's something, just seeing you doing that has been a reminder to me to, like, you know, go in person, take pictures of people, network and build relationships. And during my talk at ETH Denver this year, I actually shared a quote The friendships and bridges that you build today can lead you to opportunities tomorrow. So never underestimate the power of friendship and camaraderie in the space. And I feel like you really live by those principles, and you're always forming new relationships. So it's really inspiring. Another thing, Sandy, that you've really inspired me with is becoming an author. I'm actually publishing a book in the coming weeks. This is my first book that I've worked on. So yeah, yay. I've seen the publishing process. I'm doing a mini, book signing, mini tour in Florida at the end of the month. And it's called Impact Driven Entrepreneurship, and it's getting into Barnes & Noble. It'll be on Amazon. So really excited to share that with you as well. And Sandy, you've been such a huge inspiration throughout my professional journey. So thank you for just showing up and being you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I must say, because we have so many whales on right now, I did when I created my book, because I was telling stories, I created characters. And I took inspiration from people around me, like the CEO is a woman that I used to work with. I named her after that. But I also named a lot of whales. So we had all these characters, and the whales are characters in my book. So go check that out too. I know I can see the thumbs up there from the guys. They know who they are. They're listed throughout the book. And the book is really dedicated to all of our unstoppable fam, the Web3 industry, and some very influential people in my life as well.
Awesome. Well, I had some questions prepared, but this is just kind of off the top of my head here, because going to events, I've seen the Unstoppable Domains team as really a unified team that's really passionate about what they do. So I'm curious to hear more about the Unstoppable team and kind of the dynamics, because it seems like such a solid team that you all have over there.
Oh my gosh, our team is incredible. So behind the Unstoppable there, you have Adrian. Adrian is our social kind of god. He does all of the social media. He was with me at NFT NYC. And then we've got a great marketing leader, Lisa, who's just incredible. And our other part of our social comms is done by a gentleman named Chaz. And then of course, we've got incredible BD leaders and partner engineers, and my community management team is awesome. You know, they look after the community. They make sure we're answering questions. And we had an amazing CSAT score this month at 89%, which if we look across, we think it's the highest of anyone in the Web3 space. So we were super jazzed about that. And it just is a real tribute to the work that they put in kind of day and night, making sure that all of our customers are satisfied and happy and being helped as well. So you are right. I am very blessed with an incredible team. And of course, the engineering team who produces all the amazing products, especially the digital identity platform that we're going to talk about today too.
Absolutely. And yeah, so before we get too deep in the weeds here, I want to just rewind a bit and make sure we're kind of breaking down these terms for people who are just learning today. Sandy, would love to unpack what digital identity is and why it's important, and then kind of go into what Unstoppable Domains is doing in the digital identity space.
Yeah, so very simply, a digital identity is where you keep information about yourself. So it could be a professional identity where you might keep things like your work experiences or your resume, tokenized resume, or you know, the fact that you have taken some classes and you're now certified. Or it could be that you might want to store information about you as a citizen, your membership in a chamber of commerce, or, you know, even if you live in California, your car title could go in there, or the fact that you attended a big music festival in the downtown of your city. Can also have things like causes in there, like let's say sustainability. I have a badge that showcases that I've made all my NFTs carbon neutral. It could also have my favorite NFT collection or the tickets that I've had. For example, this is a great story, Rachel. So I was at the Super Bowl side events last year in Phoenix, when the Super Bowl was in Phoenix. And so I met a lot of people from the NFL that were hosting some of the side events. And they were telling me the reason they did an NFT ticket for the NFL is that so many people claim to have gone to the Super Bowl that actually never went to the Super Bowl. And so they wanted to give people something that was digital so that they could prove that they had gone. And in fact, they said their estimates, just by looking at social media, was that if everybody who tweeted or Facebook post or did an Instagram post had actually been at that Super Bowl, the numbers would have been 5 times bigger than the actual stadium would hold.
Wow.
So this is, you know, this is a place that you can trust, verify your data, and really have it there. It, some people describe it as like a Web3 LinkedIn page, for example. So that's what a digital identity is. Hopefully that makes sense. I did post a picture of it too, because I am a very visual person. So if you go to the picture number 2 after the marketplace that the group post, it really showcases what that digital identity looks like. Would you like me to go into some of the parts of that, Rachel?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I really like to divide our digital identity into a couple of different sections. So the digital identity platform we have first has a section on discoverability. So let's take my digital identity, sandy.nft. It's represented by a domain. But what it does is it enables me to discover information about all the wallets that are connected to my digital identity. So I could have, right now I have 2 wallets. I could have a Solana wallet. I could have multiple wallets that I connect into. And that really helps me to now demonstrate and show for that discoverability what my portfolio looks like, what all my activities are. So that element of discoverability there is, I think, very important. The second area that I would say that I think is interesting is this whole area that showcases the social nature. So I'm a very social person. And I think Web3 overall is just a social element too. And so here you can see people can follow me just like they do on social media. I can follow them back. I also have my reputation score there that's driven by one of our partners called Webacy. And I think it's really fascinating. So Webacy has this scorecard of multiple elements. You can actually click on it and get your own scorecard. It looks at the trust level that your wallets have. So for example, if I look today, it says my wallet has been exposed to 3 suspect transactions. I can actually go in there and see what those transactions were and do I want to take any action or what do I want to do? So it helps protect me against being scammed. I think those are really important elements. And then of course it has all of my collectibles, my NFT collections and my DAO voting that keeps me very social as well. The next element of the digital identity, which is shown there, are these communities. So if you go to the third pinned tweet over, you can see all those badges. I happen to have 57 of them today. And those badges are really important because they are communities that I belong to. They enable me to, if I'm a company, to provide token gated content. For example, Meta Rides. If I clicked on the Meta Rides community, I would get in there and I would get token gated video access and the ability to buy cars. So they're actually a metaverse racing. They have a leaderboard. And what it does is it enables me to get in there and now have the ability to buy a faster car, for example. And then of course, if you look at one of the next sections, I can take those communities and now I can chat. So powered by XMTP, I'm able to chat with over 3.9 million other digital identity holders. I can chat with everybody who has a Coinbase wallet. I can chat with anybody who has a Lens protocol. So essentially you're looking at like 15 million people I can chat with. And then if you go over to the next section, then you can also do this with groups. And groups are powered by Push technology. And these are token gated. So imagine the power for a company to be able to have that token gated feature. So I can now segment who I want to talk to. If you're a user, like some of our whales, they can talk just to the other whales, for example, or pudgy penguins who are influencers could just talk to other pudgy penguins. It's pretty powerful in the fact that you can now message And in fact, if you go up to the top, you'll see the really cool thing is that we have had 491,000 different messages sent through XMTP alone. That's individual messages. And we're pretty close to Coinbase, which is huge. You can see there in that picture. So it just shows you how much our community loves the ability to chat and do group chats inside of that digital identity. Okay, so that was a lot to consume. So Rachel, let me stop there for a second and see if you and Tina have any questions that you'd like to ask.
I think you just have such a good way of breaking down, you know, pretty complex topics into really digestible bites. And I think one thing we did discuss in our workshop that might be helpful to just highlight here again is like, why does digital identity like look different in Web 3 versus like Web 2, right? Like, what about Web 3 and this idea of the ownership economy makes it such that digital identity becomes increasingly more important?
It's a really good question.
Yeah. So, and Tina was an amazing host, guys. If you haven't watched the session, Tina does a great job of bringing to light like the really important elements. So your question is really important because in Web 2, your digital identity is really spread across multiple elements. You have government-issued IDs. You've got some things on-chain. And a lot of your data in Web 2 actually exists on a platform. So for example, maybe it's Facebook or now Meta, or maybe it exists on X, which is now, Twitter, or which is now X. But that information and that data, while it is associated with your digital identity, isn't really yours. And we see this play out every day. For example, even today, one of the small businesses that I visit, their Facebook page got pulled down by Meta. They don't know why. And their business, their livelihood comes through that page. In fact, they told me today they're not going to use Facebook anymore because they still have no idea why the page was removed or what they did incorrectly. They were also telling me that all the data there, they didn't save it. So it's all lost. And so that's a really painful experience for a business to go through where a centralized entity can take it from you. The same thing happened with Twitter when Twitter rebranded to X. Somebody had the digital identity of X. That was their digital identity. And of course, when Twitter rebranded, they took that from him. And so imagine even your identity, how you call yourself, can be taken from you when it belongs on a platform or belongs to a platform. So here in Web3, the power is that you own your identity and you own your data. And it's real. Like someone today reached out to me and they're like, why did you sell this digital identity? I want it. Give it to me. And I had to send them to the owner because I am not the owner, even though I help with unstoppable domains. They now have to go to the owner of that domain, of that digital identity, and buy it from them. They can't buy it from me. I can't force them to give it back because it is their identity. And I think that's a really powerful point, Tina, is the fact that in Web3, you actually own your data and you own your digital identity. Such a powerful value prop. I know it really resonates really strongly with my daughters, right? In fact, they tell me all the time, Mom, why are you giving this data away? Like, it should be your data. And I'm like, yes, honey, you're preaching to the choir. But they get it, you know? They get it.
I love that. It also does remind me, like, you were talking about XMTP messages, right? So it's really just like XMTP is the rails for which the messages are shared between peers. But then ultimately, you own every single message. And it just reminded me a lot of like, I had this one Telegram account. It just one day when I was creating a group, and it wasn't even a huge group, it was like five people, it somehow flagged my account as a spam account and it just like deleted it. And that was a terrible experience to go through, right? Because it's also like, well, Telegram doesn't really have customer support. So I think that really resonates in the idea that, you know, when you have an identity that's owned by a platform, the platform can deplatform you at any point versus when you own your own digital identity and you own your own data, what that looks like in this paradigm.
Yeah, I'm also curious, Sandy, like, what are some best practices that you would recommend for people to keep their digital identity safe? Because that's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, like making sure we're not sharing too much information so it makes us vulnerable. Like, for instance, I've seen like retina and biometric identification, like a lot of things that, you know, some people in the space want to stay more anonymous and make sure they're being more safe with their digital identity. So I'm curious if you have any best practices you'd like to share.
Yeah, so one, and it's quite interesting that you mentioned this, because I will tell you, I just had an attack on one of my email IDs, which is associated with LinkedIn. And luckily, I had two-factor authentication to protect me. But I can see they're still attacking, like even now, and it makes me nervous. In the Web3 space, though, I'm not quite as nervous, because I actually have to click on something or do something in order for someone to really rug me. So, you know, one of the first pieces of best practice that we always tell people is, you know, don't click on, you know, ooh, get this meme coin for free, or don't click on anything that you really don't know where they are coming from. You need to be safe with what you're executing on. I love Webacy. I don't know if you guys know, but Webacy was actually founded by a woman. And her philosophy is to provide protection at the smart contract layer, at the wallet layer, at the fraud detection layer. They've been releasing some new products. We've actually embedded it into our core digital identity platform. And the cool thing is you can get a score, but more importantly than just a score, right? Oh, I have a score of 5. I'm the safest. That's great. But in addition, Webacy gives you warnings. So it tells you, hey, did you know that you have this sitting in your wallet now? Don't click on this. Or, hey, did you know that you currently have this meme coin that just was airdropped? Don't interact with it. And so I love the fact, I actually have it set up to text me now too. So I can actually see if something's happening to me, like airdrop to me, that I need to be concerned with. So for me, you know, that is a really powerful tool enabling me to understand what are the risks out there, what do I need to check out, and what are the best practices that they're using. So, you know, for example, they've got a whole exposure report, they scan all your transactions, they look at all your wallets across all the features. They track external wallets that have been looking. They look at backup wallets. So there are several things there. They even have, I think you would love this, Rachel, you and I would probably use this a lot. They have a panic button. And, you know, you can press the panic button if you have an emergency, which you might have. The reason this is so important to me is I actually had someone trying to break in. They were very upset with me. We had several different threats from them. They were trying to break in and they were trying to actually steal two of my NFTs. And I got an alert, and that's actually how I met the Webacy team. I was using the product, hadn't met them, and they actually helped me protect against losing this very valuable NFT. So, you know, all these things can help you as you move forward to protect your wallet, to protect your, you know, everything about what you're doing in your digital identity. And it's going to become even more important. You know, Tina and I talked about how in the future, you might be able to put in there your driver's license, your birth certificate, your healthcare data, and that information you really want to make sure is super, you know, safe. I mean, you want to protect your NFT, but really if someone stole my NFT, it wouldn't be as bad if someone stole my, you know, my social security number, my birth certificate. All of those things would be much more important to me than an NFT. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing those examples and best practices. And I'm curious, Tina, if you have any other questions or thoughts before we move on to the next topic here.
I think we should move on to the next topic. We can definitely explore the marketplace that was recently launched by Unstoppable. But just a quick reaction to the discussion on Webacy, I feel like we should definitely do some sort of workshop to feature the work that Webacy does in terms of keeping Web3 users safe, right? I think that would be a pretty cool cool topic for us to feature. Yeah. For.
And you'll love having another super strong female founder on who is also quite technical. She would be a really good one.
Yeah, I'm definitely open to setting up a conversation. We're always looking, we didn't articulate this. We're always looking for different projects and experts to speak on topics. And with the University of Ethereum, we work with a lot of students and blockchain clubs. And like Tina mentioned, she works with our chapter lead. So we're really trying to help educate the next generation of builders, right? So anybody like that that can help to teach best practices and how to stay safe while doing these things online, I think that would be a really valuable workshop session, like definitely. But yeah, for our next topic, Sandy, I've seen you really active with NFT NYC. I'm curious what your main takeaways were from the event, and have also seen you sharing a lot about Pudgy lately, and would love to learn more about what the relationship between Unstoppable and Pudgy looks like.
Yeah, so let me start first with Pudgy. So we worked with Luca, who is the CEO, and Lorenzo, who is the president of Pudgy Penguins. And what they wanted to do was to set up a digital identity that was really unique for the Pudgies, for all the Pudgy Penguins and all the little Pudgies that are out there. And so we introduced a new extension for your digital identity called .pudgy. And so jointly, we were taking that to market to all of their users, which are all of their holders, their NFT holders, but also everybody who owns a Pudgy Penguin Stuffy. I don't know if you know, but they're selling now in Walmart and on Amazon in real life stuffed animals that are after some of the NFT collections. So they have little stuffies that are like clip-ons to your belt, big stuffies that are stuffed animals, little figurines. And on each of those, they connect the real world with the digital world because you can scan the code and get into something called Pudgy World, which is a game. So the partnership overall is to create that digital identity. Eventually, you'll use your sandy.pudgy to log into Pudgy World, the game. And we've also announced that we're also going to take Pudgy into the Web2 world. We're going to be planning and strategizing on how to file for our ICANN gTLD, which would give Pudgy kind of the superpowers of a Web3 identity along with the powers of a Web2 domain. So that relationship, I think, is strong and continues to grow. Now you asked me about NFT NYC. We were super excited to go to NFT NYC. We made two big announcements there too. We, just like we did with Pudgy, we did the similar announcement with POG. Now, do you guys remember POGs? I don't know. You guys might be too young, but in the 90s.
Yes,
you
would I know yes, about POGs.
I remember.
Okay, great. So you had those little, they look like a casino chip, right? And those little POGs were, they're super valuable. I was just talking to Kyler, the CEO, and he said one of those POGs just sold for like $60,000. So if you still have any, you should dig them up for sure. And so we launched a .pog because Kyler is bringing his 150 million collectors across 40 countries into the digital world with digital POGs now. So now you can buy a digital POG. He's partnered with Coca-Cola, for example, and others in that space to create digital POGs. And he wanted, just like Pudgy did, a digital identity to go along with that, a way that their collectors could be identified. They could use that token-gated messaging to communicate with each other and with POG directly as well. So we announced that at NFT NYC. And then the next announcement was for brand protection. And so we've talked a lot about, protecting individuals, but we also want to protect companies too. So what Web2 companies do is they'll go in, there are 1,500 Web2 domain names out there, and they'll say, I own Victoria's Secret, I want victoriasecret.com.ai.edu. But up until this point, they weren't able to protect their brands on Web3. And so we also announced now the ability as a brand comes in, Coca-Cola, Goldman Sachs, Calm, whoever it might be, They come in and they say, now I want all my domains for com, AI, EDU, et cetera. Now they can also opt in to Web3 domains. So they'll get their digital identities for .crypto, .pudgy, .pog, and you name it. That was very significant. We are the first and only Web3 company in a global protection like that for larger brands. And I think that was meaningful. So what else did I learn at NFT NYC? But first, let me pause. Any questions on anything I've talked about so far?
No questions. No, I feel like one thing you also talked about in terms of protecting global companies during our workshop was how to protect against like domain squatters. Unstoppable also sort of reserves, right, certain brands for the brand hosts themselves. And so I think it's a really cool ethos that you're continuously displaying across all these efforts.
Yeah, that's right. We believe that the brand owner really owns, really deserves the brand. So if somebody, you know, Google should have Google.crypto, Google.nft, Google.x. And so we protected all of the trademarked company names at the time. And we try to continuously do that, right? Because OpenAI just came on the scene and somebody bought one OpenAI before we could protect all of them. But we do our very best to protect, which is one of the reasons why GoDaddy and the Brand Safety Alliance selected us as the Web3 provider for brand protection, is that we had already been protecting large brands as well. I would say, what was hot at NFT NYC? Well, a couple of things I found that was super hot. You won't be surprised, but meme coins were super hot.
Of course.
Yeah,
they're blowing up right now.
What's your favorite meme coin right now, Sandy?
Well,
what's your
I love Dogecoin still. I think it was one of the first and the originals in the space. And so I do love that one. But I also love the Spider-Man one, like the new one that's out there. And I have to, you know, Rachel knows because she was quoted in Forbes, but I just did a new Forbes article and I did it around meme coins.
I would love to pin that if you posted about it, Sandy.
Yeah, I'm going to put, I'll pin it here right now.
Awesome.
The funny thing, I think is that I accidentally hit publish too early. And I was trying to finish one thing and I hit publish and Forbes took it and they published it. And so I pinged them and 30 minutes later, they got back to me and I said, hey, can I unpublish that? Like, am I allowed to do that? How does that work? And they're like, I think it's too late. You've already had 5,400 people comment on your article. I was like, oh my gosh, in 30 or 40 minutes?
I feel like that would be how it goes, like publishing a meme coin thing, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. I have to tell you, it was really, I had no idea. And I was like, oh, okay, can I just at least make one little itsy-bitsy, change so that I don't get anybody in trouble? And so they allowed me to do that, but they never took the article down. It stayed up the whole time. And right now it is the trending article up on Forbes, being super, super hot. Of course, we're not surprised about that, but I will tell you, one of my colleagues from Amazon pinged me in and he's like, I really need to sit down with you and figure out what you do. He's like, you know, because before you were talking about, you know, Department of Defense and Goldman Sachs and Lowe's. And he said, recently I've seen you talk about penguins and meme coins. What is going on? So I thought that was I don't know if you guys have that problem, but talking to your Web2 friends, sometimes it's really hard to to explain like what it is,
that.
Right?
Yeah, I came from the credit industry. Yeah.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, I was just going to say, yes, I've definitely experienced that coming from the credit industry, working in credit monitoring. It's like speaking another language when I speak to former colleagues.
Yeah, I feel very similarly because I've spent a pretty like but the last like 5-6 years purely doing like investing, right? And so especially like coming from like Web2 early stage investing, people are like, so why invest in these things? And then you're sort of like, you know, you're investing because there's attention on it. And that's what you're trading. You're trading on attention. And they're like, but what's the real intrinsic value of this? And you're like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I don't know how to defend this as a thesis, but it's working somehow, right? But I'm actually curious with your meme coin article, what you
added. I just published it up there. And I also wrote this article, almost in the first person, not almost, in the first person as well. Talking about how celebrities were out of crypto, right? There was so many mm-hmm. people that got fined and everything, and you wouldn't be seen dead promoting anything. And now celebrities are back in with all the meme coins that are happening. And so that was the one thing that I wrote about. And then I ran into, Rachel, you talked about meeting cool people. And I ran into Jennifer Booz, who used to be at Polygon, and she's now in a company called Aphone. And Aphone is super cool. You have to buy an NFT to access the phone itself. And their app store, you know, like the iPhone app store is all basically Web 2 apps. Their app store is all Web 3 apps. And
this sounds so cool. That's awesome.
It is. And so, yeah. And so she was talking to me about meme coins and how meme coins and Web 3 gaming are going to play a role in this next phone. So anyway, I got to talk to her. So I got to interview her. And then, of course, Solana is really the genesis of this whole new market, at least I think. And I also got to talk with Michael, who I also met at NFT NYC. He is the chief gaming officer. I mean, who wouldn't kill for that title? He is the chief gaming officer at Wax. And they've partnered with Solana to do a cross-chain meme coin to incentivize game developers. So I thought there's just so many cool things happening. So I got to interview both of them for this article. And again, like I said, if you guys could take a read, it's posted up there. People are going crazy for this right now. It's a hard trend. Like I was talking to my Web2, he's like, but what's the value? And it's hard to explain the community value of something like this, you know?
Well, I actually, you know what's crazy, Sandy? I actually spoke yesterday at the Berkeley Innovation Forum, and it's wild how even in the world of academia, they're talking about meme coins right now. Like, but there is a reason, because attention is the most valuable currency, and the hype is what brings people in to make real adoption. For me, for instance, you mentioned Dogecoin. Dogecoin was my first investment. I came in thinking, oh, that looks really funny. That's cool. Then it sent me down this rabbit hole of doing a bunch of research into other tokens and Web3 and blockchain and NFTs and DAOs. So like, it could be a good starting point for people, you know, like kind of lowering the defenses and just doing something funny and like, you know, the novelty of it bringing people in can actually lead them to become builders in our space. So that's just an interesting perspective I've had on it.
You could have written the article, because in the article I talk about, in the last bull run, I still remember someone saying to me, novelty precedes utility. And I thought, that is so true, right?
So I saw somewhere like people don't really want to hear like what the thing is going to do, right? They just want to connect with a community. I feel like a big part of Web3 for people is connecting with like-minded individuals and, you know, finding your tribe. You know, I feel like that's one of the most valuable aspects of joining the space.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this is a bunch of people were talking at NFT NYC. Is this a good thing or not? I think it's a great thing. I think this is going to bring millions of enthusiastic new adopters into Web3, which will start that flywheel and lead to more demand for more innovation. So I think it's a good thing. I know that a lot of people were like, oh, this is bad. This is going to be another like failed, no utility kind of exercise. I don't feel that. I don't know. Do you guys, Tina and Rachel?
I think all of crypto, right? Like everybody's so interested in onboarding the next user. And I think of every crypto era as having had some version of financial upside as that, you know, new onboarding way. So we had like Bitcoin, then we had like Ethereum, and we had like token ICOs, and then we had like NFTs as a last boom, and now I think like meme coins is this boom, mm-hmm. right? It's like the idea of you can become rich overnight draws a lot of attention, and I think that's what brings people in. And it's like when you have someone in or have their attention and they go down the rabbit hole, like Rachel mentioned about, you know, other tokens or other parts of Web3, like I think that's how you onboard people. And of course, like educational resources like UETH has to exist alongside that to be accessible for people to understand what crypto is and the like more broad applications and real world applications of crypto. But I think onboarding someone, probably the highest utility thing, is the idea of financial upside.
Yeah. And then look at Pudgy, you know, I mean, Rachel asked me about Pudgy. I mean, Pudgy, what did they do right? Like they're one of the top, probably the top. I mean, they keep flipping Bored Apes, but what have they done right? Well, Luca and Lorenzo are masters. They've got this amazing community. They nurture it. You know, probably the best party in NFT Paris and NFT NYC was the Pudgy party. You have to be a Pudgy owner to enter. But they also have this tribe around the plushies, right? So maybe you can't afford a $60,000 NFT, but everybody could afford a $10 plushie or, you know, even a dot Pudgy. And so they embrace like everybody from the entry point all the way up, and everything they're doing is helping people to fit in, to feel part of the community, to feel that love. And you know, Luca actually told me community is greater than utility. Utility is greater than hype, but community is greater than utility. And as I watch them and learn from them, I truly believe that is the case. If you can get that community, they have, I mean, at NFT NYC, I don't know if you saw my pictures, Magic Eden did a basketball tournament and the Pudgy Penguins got together, got a team. They had uniforms made. I mean, and all this was done volunteer. Like these are all community members. This isn't the Pudgy Penguins official team. These are the community members doing that. And I saw, I have to tell you, I saw one lady, she was wearing like a Pudgy Penguin shirt that I thought was cool. So I saw her at the party and I said, oh, I love that shirt. I really want one of those. And do you know, she followed up with me. She gave me the link. She introduced me to the designer. I mean, it's just like that community is what's going to keep that project mm-hmm. going. And that's why, you know, that's why there's so much investment in them right now.
For sure. Yeah, I also feel very strongly about the Web3 community and just the entire ethos of open source and collaboration, which I think you just don't find as much outside of Web3.
Absolutely. By the way, just want to leave a quick comment for anybody listening that wants to come up. Feel free to request the mic. We'll open up for questions here in a minute. Just scanning through our questions to make sure we went over everything. The last thing I wanted to bring up for you both, Tina and Sandy, is if you could just recap like what your main takeaways were from the workshop, that would be really great.
Yeah. I mean, I can go first. So in the workshop, we effectively covered, you know, the case for why digital identity matters in Web3, different use cases of what digital identity looks like today and sort of the future envisioning what that could look like tomorrow. And then the last piece was really around like tactically, if you wanted to grab your unstoppable digital identity, how do you go about doing that, et cetera. So for me, I think the biggest use case or the biggest sort of aha moment was really like today, the digital identity and like tying, you know, your different wallet activities to a namespace like Unstoppable may look skeuomorphic in some ways, right, to Web2. But I think it's really like when you start future-proofing and the idea of if you start owning your digital identity today, you're going to start future-proofing what could be As different assets come on chain and as blockchain become a larger component of either your life or your digital life, but also with this this element of AI, like how can like your namespace can in some ways help you differentiate between something that is like AI created versus something that's like a creation by a real person. And so to me, I think like digital identity is extremely important when you think about future proofing against how things can develop.
Very cool. I would say it's always fun to see if what you meant to say people get. So I'm really happy. I'm really happy about that, Tina. I would also add, I hope that people get that it's, in my mind, it's really important to get your digital identity now. Because now is a great time. It's not too late. I have people ask me if it's too late. It's not too late. But it's also not too early. Like if you get in now, you're going to get the name that you want. You'll be able to start building up your Web3 credibility. I had a woman yesterday tell me that she used her Web3 profile, which is displayed up above in the pinned tweets. She used the profile in a job interview to recently get a role. I asked her if we can do a case study on it. And she used that as kind of her Web3 profile to prove that she understood Web3, and the contents of her profile kind of demonstrated she had taken certain classes. She was working with certain NFT collections, that she had accomplished certain things by going to event. Anyway, it was really cool. It was a great case, you know, case study. So you can go ahead and start using it now. It does have utility, but it does have community as well. And I think now is the time to get started. I think, would you guys agree, Tina and Rachel?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always better to do things today versus in the future, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I scooped up actually RachelRoseB.eth I've had for a while, but seeing the Polygon domains on Unstoppable Domains, I actually picked up RachelRoseB.Polygon. So really, really bullish on the Polygon community. So I was excited mm-hmm. to get that one early.
Yeah, that's really good. And then now, you know, I mean, you guys should do a .pudgy because then you're embraced by the Pudgy community. And it really is a great lesson in community building. Like you should just do that, like spend the $20, get one, just so you can feel the love and you can feel the way that they do things. For example, in Asia, they have a user group, again, that's not personed or nothing to do with the company, community members form teams in Indonesia, India, Malaysia, Singapore. And they're want to roll out like Singapore.pudgy and Malaysia.pudgy and Indonesia.pudgy. And they approached us directly. And I went to Luca and the team and I said, hey, are you okay? And they're like, yeah, the community is the heartbeat. Like work with them. That's great. And I just haven't seen that in any other communities that strong. It's just been a great lesson for me and how all that has worked, you know?
Well, yeah. I do have another question regarding that, Sandy. I noticed your Pudgy has something that looks like Noggles on it. I'm actually wearing some Noggles merch right now. I'm wearing a Noggles hoodie. I'm curious what the connection is between Pudgy and Nouns, if any. They could just be glasses that look like Noggles.
It's just they do all kinds of different merch and everything. It's one of their attributes, I guess I would say. Although I will tell you, Rachel, you had introduced me to someone at ETH Denver. He let me try on his glasses from Metropolis. I took a couple pictures and, you know, the community jumped in and it went viral. And the Metropolis team, when I met with them at NFT NYC, brought me my own pair of those glasses, which are, I don't know if you remember those. Those are so wicked cool.
Oh my God, that's so exciting because I've actually became really passionate about the Noun Style community because they're all about like funding public goods. And I feel like it's very similar ethos to Pudgy, like very community focused. Something I'm actually doing, this is kind of like a side project I started working on with Noun Style Africa. I've been working with the Princess of Sierra Leone since last year. She actually came on as a workshop guest. And we're trying to figure out how to build some wells in Africa and get some public goods funding to help tackle the problem of water scarcity. So the reason I bring that up is we're actually making like a promo video for it wearing noggles. So I'm pretty excited about that. Little side note.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's just amazing how the community works. You know, I don't think I would have seen that. And again, no slam. Like I loved all my Web2 companies and all my customers and all my partners. I still love them to this day. But there is just something different here. There's a different kind of community and a different kind of love and a different kind of sharing that I haven't seen or experienced before. So it's really cool. I really, really, really love it.
Absolutely. And I just want to be mindful of the time here and be respectful of everyone's time. If there are any questions from our listeners today, if you want to request the mic, it's free for you to come up. So yeah, I guess we can end off here with a bonus question. So Tina and Sandy, what upcoming events are you both most excited about? And where can the community connect with you IRL?
I mean, I feel like I have an obligation to say EdCon, right? I am very excited.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do the EdCon plug.
For EdCon, which is Ethereum Community Developers Conference. It'll be happening in July 26th to the 30th in Tokyo. It will be taking place inside the United Nations University, and then the main event will take place inside Yoyogi National Gymnasium, which is a Olympic stadium, and the first time this Olympic stadium has ever hosted a tech conference, let alone a crypto conference. And so I think that'll just be a really fun time to, you know, be in Tokyo and have these amazing venues. We'll feature the Ethereum Foundation as well as Vitalik, and make sure we have some amazing guests inside events. I've been talking to a few communities who want to do a sushi event, and so I think it'll just be a next level conference. So
yeah, probably nothing. Just, you know, hosting an event with Vitalik and the Ethereum Foundation at a 2-time Olympic stadium. Probably nothing.
That sounds incredible, I have to tell you. That sounds really incredible. Let's see. Next conferences that we're going to as UD, we're going to be at Consensus. That is a really big conference for us. You know, we look at, like, we go to, you know, the ETH conferences like ETH Denver. Those are, in my mind, you know, very technical, great conferences. And then we go to the NFTs, NFT NYC, NFT Paris. And those really, you know, connect us to creators and artists and fashion. And then we go to Consensus for the business connections. There's so many brands there. Like, I'm really looking forward to meeting Adidas this time. And so, you know, each of these conferences bring different connections and different groups. And then after that, I think our next big one, we're going to do Permissionless in Salt Lake City this year, and then Token 2049 in Singapore. So I'm really having FOMO. I don't know if you ladies are going to Token in Dubai. I really wanted to go to Token in Dubai, but I've got FOMO because I'm not going to be able to go there. I just have too much work to do. But
yeah,
I am going to go to Token Singapore. Yeah. It looks great, doesn't it? I mean, I was looking at the side event list, and the side event list, one of the side events had said that they could take participants up to 3,000 people for a side event. Pretty wild.
That's wild. Yeah, I think the FOMO is real. Mainly it's because of the people. Like, I find myself on a daily basis talking to someone who's like, oh yeah, I'm traveling to Dubai. Like, I'm not going to be around. So I know, like, a lot of people in our circles here are definitely going to be there. So yeah, but anything else, Sandy and Tina, as we get to the end of the space here, any closing thoughts, resources, or, you know, ways that people can get involved with our projects? I guess, Tina, you can share on the EdCon side, and Sandy, you can share on Unstoppable Domains.
Sure. I mean, you can definitely find us on Twitter in the hash. The handle is EdCon, EDCON 2024, or you can find us on our website, which is edcon.io, and any information will be kept current on those two particular handles/websites.
Awesome. And for us on Twitter, it's Unstoppable Web, not Unstoppable Domains, Unstoppable Web. But our website is unstoppabledomains.com. Go there. And then if you need to reach out for me for any reason, Sandy_Carter on crypto Twitter, and I'm on every platform. So just reach out, very accessible, and would love to chat. And ladies, both Rachel and Tina, thank you guys for the love of, you know, the university that you guys represent and everything that you're doing in the space, both for people who really want to learn as well as for female leaders. Thank you guys very much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sandy. Another thing, Sandy, I would love to chat about offline is your women's group, because I haven't really learned much about that. But I mean, for Tina and I know we're both really into things like that empower females in the space. So would love to learn more about that. One last thing also I'm going to share is also funding the Commons in Berkeley. A lot of people are heading to my neck of the woods this weekend. Just looking online at the speaker list, it's insane. You know, we have Juan Benet, Ilya Polasukin, Kevin Owaki, like all these big names in our industry coming out to Berkeley this week. So if anybody's going to be at Funding the Commons in Berkeley, hit me up. My DMs are open if anyone wants to grab a coffee or schedule a meeting.
Super. Well, thank you guys. And thanks to all the listeners, and a big call out to all the whales who were on the call today too. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for everyone joining. And thank you, Tina and Sandy.
Thank you. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, Tina. Talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, everybody.